I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Uper.
In front there for L'Esperance. Backhand to the front of the... Here's a shot! Gillies with the goal!
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Caldeo, the penalty is over. Shoot!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Huana Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Thanks a lot, Josh. We appreciate that. And yes, Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ going on a Tuesday again because... The Huskies going to a third and deciding game against Minnesota State this past weekend on Sunday. And so here we are, the Huskies advancing with a great win on Saturday and Sunday, both nights to get the 2-1 victory in that 3-game series. And congratulations, Coach, to you. Welcome back to the studio and good morning.
Great. Thanks, Dirk.
Great series, Coach. A lot of fun to watch the teams play. We knew this was going to be a lot of fun between these two teams. Obviously, we were the big-time underdogs going in here. And then after the loss on Friday night, we became even bigger underdogs. And what a great comeback win in that series by you guys.
Yeah, incredibly gutsy performance by our players. I thought that they're drained. They're drained. They're tired. They're beat up. They gave everything. I mean, our guys left everything on the table. It's been a real pleasure to watch this group grow. We've challenged them, as everybody listens to this program, we've challenged them, and this is what I told them after the game, to expect more, not to be passengers in life, to expect more. We talked consistently about the leadership and the play that we got out of the Shane Hannas, the Matt Roys, the Mike Nevilles, the Reed Sturrows, you know, those, so many guys, Chris Leibinger, I could go on, all those, the leadership, but don't sit back and rest on what you accomplished with a group of great leaders. Step up and be those guys, be those leaders, make your own path in life, and to watch this team grow, to watch the fight, to watch the comeback in their spirit. It's been a heartwarming experience, a growing experience for all of us. And I couldn't be prouder, after last week and obviously of just the adversity, you know, they overcame. There's a lot of things that happened in that series that really tested the character of our group. It tested the fabric, the moral fiber, and our guys showed that they're the evolution of becoming tremendous young men, and couldn't be prouder of the effort.
So, Coach, help me out. In the locker room, we hear about a lot of these leaders of the team, the captains. Brent Baltus is a quiet leader for the most part. Was there more talking going on in this series in between periods between the players than maybe usual, or was it kind of the same?
You know, I'd love to answer that, but I don't spend a lot of time with them in between periods. I think that's their time to regenerate. You only have so much time to recover. We'll go in and make some subtle adjustments. But we don't stay in there and unless we feel that there's a need to gauge something that's going on, we let them have their time. It's a routine that they have and us disrupting that routine. Probably does more harm than good. So we stick to a routine. So I know that there's some people that lead this group, in different ways. You know, someone who has the group, you know, in a lot of ways is a guy like Dane Burks. Dane Burks is a, you know, he's a little more boisterous and things like that. So we have several guys that do things in their own way. And all those guys did their things in their own way this weekend.
Well, it was so much fun to watch this team not get down after that first game. I mean, it really was, you could see the resiliency even before the first win on Saturday night. The determination that this was not going to be over yet.
Well, Friday night's game defensively, in a team atmosphere was as good a game as we played all year. We allowed 7 scoring chances against on Friday night's game. Friday, I mean, we didn't give up much. We were tight checking. We were inside of them. We kept their top guys off the board. Kept virtually most of all their guys off the board. So, but we didn't give up much at all in the hockey game. So it was a confidence builder coming out on the road to a team. I don't know how many games straight they had won, 12, 14,
14.
Yeah, whatever it was. So to come in and know, okay, listen, guys, you could see it in their eyes. This isn't over, boys. You know, this is a long ways from being over. Let's continue what we did tonight, continue that. We'll find some ways to get a little bit more pressure on their goal to try to see if Connor Lacouvé is Lacouvier, however you pronounce it, is, you know, let's test him, because there's such a strong defensive team as well. They put so much pressure. They play such a possession game that, you want to see how good some of their, like, I want to see how good he really was if we could get at him. And we were able to get at him enough that we were able to get more goals than they did, one more goal, and then with an empty netter on Saturday night and then force the Sunday game.
Well, the Friday night game, as you said, you thought we played better probably Friday night than Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, as a team, we right. did. We got some individual play out of some guys that got us. But even as a team on Saturday night, we kept the play to where we wanted to keep it to and kept the shots to where we wanted to keep them. And it was a consistent game for us. It was a typical game. Saturday night's game was a typical game for us, where Sunday we got outplayed, for various reasons, but we got outplayed. I think the tempo was in their favor on Sunday's game, but Saturday's game was more like, Friday was a good game for us. Saturday was a typical game for us, defensively and offensively, and the score proved out that way.
So we look at Friday's game. We give up the goal against Jared Spooner and late in the first period. Tough goal to give up, and then we give up that power play goal to Jeremko early on in the second period. And everybody's kind of like, at least I was like, okay, here we go. Can we stop the bleeding? And we certainly did. I mean, just mm-hmm. I mean, take away the goal that we scored with L'Espérance, the fact that we shut them down after that second goal early on in the second period, I thought was a big part of just the momentum going into game two.
It was huge. Yeah, it was huge. And then, you know, the game was actually, it was a very even hockey game. All the games were, they had some shot advantages on us, but a lot of those shots were from the outside. They were putting pucks on goal from trying to get pressure in front and trying to create, you know, win some crease battles, which they've done against us in the past. You can just picture, JP LaFontaine and those guys just jamming our net and pushing Jamie Phillips back in the net and getting a goal scored and hands going in the air and things like that. So they like those crease battles. They like getting in that hard ice. They're a highly competitive team. They're a tremendous hockey team. Extremely well coached. Third in the country going into the weekend. They're a great, great hockey team that can win the national title. I talked to Mike Hastings yesterday. I got they're classy. They're a classy group of men. We heard from all their coaches, and I got a personal phone call yesterday from Mike Hastings. And I told them I said, you know, there was a time a few years ago, not so long ago, that I was with a team that went into Miami and Miami was number one in the country. We lost the Friday night game. We won the next two. And eliminated Miami from the CCHA playoffs. So they didn't make the championship round of the CCHA playoffs, but they were number one in the country going in. So they got a top four seed in the NCAA tournament and, lost the championship game, gave up 2 goals late, if you remember that game, to BU. Last minute of the game, they gave up 2 goals. But they went all the way to the championship game of the national tournament. And I told Mike, you have everything you need. You have everything at every position to make that run. And he appreciated that. But, they're a classy group and a great hockey team. And we went in there and did a tremendous job.
Only one goal for the Huskies in that first game. It was a 2-0 score, in favor of Minnesota State. But halfway through the third period at the 9:19 mark, the Huskies got a chance.
Face off controlled by the Huskies. Tripped up on the play was Lucchini. Play keeps on going. Here comes L'Espérance with a shot, and he scores! L'Espérance pulls within one as he buried it between the legs of the goaltender. Lacouvier, it was Gavin Gould who came across, and it was L'Espérance who put in the
I had a, I won't mention his name, a Michigan Tech fan standing right next to me, when they scored that goal. He's the one wooing, in the background there, you can hear. But nice goal by Joel.
Sounds like a home game. That sounded like we, like a home game.
Yeah.
That goal. What a great crowd, eh?
It was a great crowd. Joel Esperanz gets his 10th of the season. Gavin Gould and Jake Lucchini. And still 10 minutes plus left to go in the game, coach. I thought we were going to tie it up. It came really close.
Yeah,
at the end.
We gave a push at it. We gave a push and gave ourselves a chance, and it built confidence for us for the weekend.
Shots in the first game, 28-19 in favor of Minnesota State. 2-1 final in favor of the home team. Very few penalties called in that game, coach. There were only two called the whole game. Both teams had a power play. They got a power play goal, and that was the difference in the game, really.
Yeah, it was the difference in the game. And there, again, that, and any time a game gets into that, when you can get it, turn it into a depth game, if you're Mankato, and you can get it turned into a depth game with the power plays and things like that, the advantage big time goes to them. They're the number one scoring team in the country in both total goals and goals per game. They're the second best power play efficiency in the country. So special teams, when it turns into that type of game, or even a 4-on-4 game, when there's a lot of penalties called, it big time tilts in their favor.
You know, I don't know. I haven't looked this up, but it just seems like Justin Misiak, who we're going to talk about here in a moment, or listen to
gets big goals.
Gets big goals, but it seems to get him early in games too. That might not be the case. It just, in my mind, it seems like he does. And this was a big goal.
Well, he got the third period.
Huskies only have 3 shots on goal, 2 only for the Mavericks, but Michigan Tech has certainly put on 10 attempts at least from pretty good locations. Here's a loose puck. Scores! A rebound! As the Cuvier could not hold on, and it was Misiak who put it in. And he put it in with the backhand. Justin Misiak with the goal as the Cuvier went to cover it up, and it bounced off the tip of his glove from the ice level there. And the Huskies take a 1-0 lead.
It's a great goal.
I was just going to mention before that, he got the deflection in the third period on the power play against Bemidji last week too.
He
likes that hard ice. Mm-hmm. How many goals has he got this year where he's just whacking at that puck in the crease and it goes in the net for us? That was off a face-off play. It was a great play. They battled it in. Le Cuvier mishandled it a little bit. It got away from him and Justin fought his way into good ice and got that in. So that was a huge goal. It's extremely important to get up on Mankato and not fall behind. Friday night's game, we fell behind 2-0. They go into shutdown mode, and they're good at it. But Saturday night, we were able to get that first goal.
Sorry, and that was his 8th of the season. And I asked him after the game, I said, you know, what kept you going to the net? Because it looked like, you know, he was going to cover this up with ease. It was just misplayed, as you said, by Le Cuvier. He said, coach tells us, never stop moving our feet. That's exactly what he told me. And he went to the net and paid off.
Well, he's given credit there.
It's 1-0 Michigan Tech. That is at the 9:19 mark of the first period, but the Mavericks come back and tie it up.
That one deflected to the corner. Michigan Tech now will bring it up and get the clear up to center ice. Here come the Mavericks, though, turning it over. Durenko coming back with good speed, trying to get around Burks. Burks takes it wide, pass to the front. What's on it in? It went in off a skating in on the far post and just trickled across the line. And I mean just trickled. Tie 1-1.
That went off of a skate, kind of a bad luck play for us.
Yeah, we had bodies back. That's what they do. They get the puck into that hard ice area and get things happening with it. It'd be interesting to know the percentage of goals they get that way on the year. They throw things at, you know, towards the net and try to get crashing bodies there. That one went off of Berksy's skate. We had bodies there. We had guys picked up. They were just able to get a goal that took a bounce. And oftentimes you see those in overtime where guys are just trying to get pucks to the net and they go off of something and go in the net. And people say they're bad goals, but they're goals. They all count. And that was a big one for Mankato.
Mark Ott got a big goal, though. Get the Huskies back in the lead before the intermission.
Still a scrum for the puck behind the goal of a Cuvier. And Beretta trying to kick it to his forehand. Able to move it for Jackson, who comes in to help out. Back to the point. Quick shot! Scores! Yes! Mark Ott for the point! Took a quick shot. He did not waste any time. And a big screen in front of the Cuvier. The Huskies have their second lead of the game, 2-1.
How much was the element of surprise a factor in that goal, the fact that he got rid of it so quickly?
Yeah, well, that was something we knew we had to do on the weekend. We couldn't play with it. We got numbers on the puck in the offensive zone and came out with it. And Mark, usually, who plays with it a little bit more than that, got rid of it in a hurry and it had eyes. We had a good view of that from the bench. It's always neat when you're on the bench and you can see some, you know, you can just see some things open up. And we had a great view of that from the bench and it was a big goal for us.
So obviously, let me ask you, at that point, Le Cuvier mishandled on the first goal. goal. That one, even though it was a great shot and everything and probably had a screen in front of him, he probably would like back or think that he himself probably thought he should save it. Do you think, were you guys thinking at all, okay, maybe he's a little bit rattled here in this game and that we can exploit this a little bit? And
I think our viewpoint, on the goaltending was that we just didn't know how good it was. When we were there before, we had 2-1 goal or 2 tie games when we were there before, and then spent the last 5 minutes of both those games in the penalty box with 5-on-3s and things, where those games got away from us and we weren't able to close anything out. But we were able to get at him a little bit when we played there before. I think he played one of the games. So, we just wanted to see how good he was. When we watch video and things like that, they're just so good. You know, they're just so good. They don't give up much. And his saves per game are not high. We just wanted to see how good he was and try to get at him. So we didn't think he was rattled. We just didn't know, we just wanted to keep trying to get as much on him as we could.
So we're up 2-1 at that point. We go to the first intermission with the lead. Ray Bryce gets the next goal. And after this game, the second game, we talked to Ray Bryce, and he said himself, he goes, I needed to do that, or I needed to play better for the guys. He really thought he let them down on Friday night, and boy, did he come back with a great goal, which turned out to be the game winner on Saturday.
Louisville started up now, sends it over for Ock. Not a good pass though by Gavin. That was way too far ahead of Ock, and the Huskies will lose control, trying to get it back to his left for Ock. He'll toe Drake, shoots, and a save. Rebound for Gould.
It's amazing watching that goal back, too, and I didn't realize how great of a pass Gould with that backhand. I don't know if between the legs or whatever it was, just knowing to put it into a spot where somebody else might be able to
get
it.
And then Ray had a couple of whacks at it. The first one was blocked, came right back to him, and he put the second one in. But great story. He's a tremendous young man with a huge character base and great competitiveness and great work ethic. And it's hard on those guys because they weren't, it's do or die for us. Minutes are limited on that line. They're not getting a ton of ice time, although we're, jumping a couple of them in and out on other lines to try to, for recovery purposes. But I know that Ray was fighting that a little bit at Bemidji where he was cramping up and things like that because he goes so hard. He jumps on the ice and he's just going as hard as he can. Mm-hmm. And when your fibers aren't warm and continually twitching, it's not an easy thing to do. So when you're sitting for periods of time, but he found ways. He takes his skates off between periods. He's on the bike, getting the lactic acid out of his system and things. So he's finding ways to make sure that he's ready to go and give us good minutes when he's on the ice and that shows. And we talked about this before. He was out. He was doing extra work on Saturday morning, after the Friday night game. He's out there on some little intricacies trying to make himself better so that he could be better in certain situations that he knew he was going to face on the game. He's just, that's the kind of guy he is. And again, you say this often, the good Lord rewards, people, I think, in some ways. And it was great of him. It ends up being the winning goal and prolonging our season and gives us a chance to even have some magic on Sunday night.
Dallas Girard scores a power play goal at the 13-13 mark of the second period to pull them within one. And then we have this long third period trying to hold these guys off to extend our season. And we did it. And it all comes down to a face-off at the end of the game. And Dylan Stamen, of course, was put out there for that draw and had a huge win.
Yeah, we ended up on the night getting 2 face-off goals against a team that battles hard on faceoff. So huge turnaround for us in the game. Our guys, great attention to detail and we're able to make a couple of good plays.
And Dylan Stamen with that, faceoff win ends up scoring the, insurance goal.
Draw won by Stamen off of the glass. They get the clear to the line. Not out. Second opportunity. Here's Stamen. Empty net. Stamen is coming down on a breakaway. He'll shoot and he scores. 6 seconds left. The Huskies are
Well, he won the draw, then the puck was sent around. Was it Burks that sent it around to the point, and they almost held it in, and then kind of bounced back over to Stamen. He got out, and then Brickley, I think, dove it looked like after him, and didn't make the play.
Yeah, he kind of dove and fell, and just a great play. We had good layering on our coverage, and you know, some of that stuff goes back to the Bemidji game where you know they were able to do some things against us. 6-on-5 with the goaltender out. We had to spend a little extra time on that and try to shore that up, and it paid off for us at a big time against Mankato. We were able to get that empty net goal.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll talk about the third game at Minnesota State Mankato. We've got a lot more coming up here on the Joe Schott Hour, including the preview of the big championship game that's coming up at the Barrie Event Center. We're taking your questions too at DJ@themix93.com. The Joe Schott Hour continues right after this on Mix 93.
It's almost Bush o'clock. A time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Bush beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1.
Bush.
Crisp, cold Bush. Enjoy it responsibly. Bush beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
When you need to find a bar at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Buy one 14-ounce can of Wherever Brake Parts Cleaner. Get your second can free through March 28th at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place. I still discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have a $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock, 337-5049 Lorium.
Back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We talked about the first two games at Minnesota State. One game for the Huskies. But a Sunday night game. And tough to beat this team twice in two games. And that's exactly what the Huskies did. Coach, what was the vibe going into that game? You know, watching the team in their pregame ritual, you know, with playing soccer and stuff like that. They seemed incredibly loose and not tight going into that huge game to keep their season alive.
Yeah, again, a good group, a youthful type atmosphere with the guys. I think we all felt good to be in the position we were in, and we're ready just to try to perform the best we could, and wherever whatever way it fell, and the more we could get our character involved in it, you know, that camaraderie. I felt that we would be, we'd give ourselves a chance, and knowing that we're playing a tremendous team, elimination on the line. You know, the vibe was good. I think.
Let's go back to the Friday game, Coach, where I was watching Devin in the second period. Yeah, it would have been the second period. Friday game down at Minnesota State, and a puck was coming towards the net. It didn't end up going on net, but he was positioning himself to get ready to make a possibly make a save, and I could see he tweaked something. I could see that you guys knew something was going on, and he was seen to be shaking it off, no problem. What was the thought process on the bench at that point? How concerned were you on whether or not, you know, and where he was with that?
I didn't know.
Oh, you didn't?
Honesty, when I guess the injury occurred on the, they had a great scoring chance before they scored the goal on the power play right at the beginning of the second period. And that's where the injury occurred when they had that. They threw it to the net, and it was a quick little deflection that he got over on and caught it. That's where the injury occurred. But I didn't see it. I didn't notice anything. And then after the game is when I was told, that he tweaked his knee a little bit during the game. You know, they'll gauge it and see where it goes. And it went the other way. So, you know, I wasn't aware of it during the entire game.
Okay, I thought you guys...
Just like the week before he got hit, and I wasn't aware of it till Sunday in Bemidji that he got another minor concussion mm-hmm. on Sunday, so he didn't practice most of last week. He practiced, I think, one day and then played in the game on Friday night because we just thought it was the best thing. We'd given it to him. The other goalies hadn't been in the net. Although they'd been working really hard, they hadn't been in the net for so long. We didn't think going into that series it was right to totally upset the, you know, apple cart, I think is the saying, and change things up. So we went with him, and he gave us a good effort and gave us a chance in the hockey game. But I wasn't aware until after the game that anything occurred.
Jake Jackson in the Sunday night game, the third and deciding game, scores the first goal of the game.
Back up top down for Burks. Burks slides it over, gets it back. Baltus on the half wall, over for Donahue. Hand on it, back for Baltus, makes a move to the front.
Good puck movement there from the blue line, D to D, and then to move it down quickly and able to pop it home.
Yeah, to me that's a power play goal. I don't know what the timing differential was, but it was a great play. They got it down. It was kind of a little bit of a bobble got Mankato to bite just a little bit on their penalty kill where they jumped out, which opened up a low seam, and Baltz really made a good play. Went to his backhand and got out to Jacko in front who. Put shot it just inside the post. It was a bang bang play. We had bodies at the net. It was a, you know, to get us off and going was a big deal.
Joe L'Esperance was waiting there too on the side in case that it popped out. But that whole play, like you mentioned, Baltus. I mean, just to have it on his forehand, the defenseman probably thinking that he's going to deliver it at that point, draw it below the goal line, and then send it back out front.
Yeah, it was a great play.
That made it 1-0 Michigan Tech. So they get the first goal again. Brent Baltus and Seamus Donahue get the assist. 6:09 in the second period. We go to Knutson on his power play goal of the game to tie it up.
Brakely will drop it back. Mavericks across the line on the power play. Sees failed to bring it in deep, but the Huskies could not get it out. Back to the point. Shot there. Rebound. Scores! Power play goal for Minnesota State. Huskies blocked the shot. It came right back to the shooter, and he buried it top shelf. And that is going to be Knutson. Zeb with the goal.
Well, the Huskies blocked the shot. I think it was it Seamus Donahue that went down and made
it? No, it was Dylan Stamen.
Dylan Stamen went down, blocked the shot, and just came right back
to him. Came right back to him, and Dylan's momentum carried him out of the shooting lane for the second shot, and then he was able to walk in and put it inside the bar.
I tied it up on the power play, Zeb Knutson from Parker Toomey, and we're tied 1-1 at the Verizon Center. So we take a look at the third period. No scoring in that third period, Coach. Shots were 9-8. In favor of Minnesota State, very even third period as far as shots go.
Yeah, and no power plays.
Right.
No power plays in the third where there were 18 power plays, 18 penalties through two periods on, you know, the exact way we wouldn't want the game. If I was to draw up the game, the flow of the game, it was the exact opposite of what we would have asked for. So, but, you know, the referees put the whistles away and we were able to, it was relatively even third period.
Some outstanding saves by Packy Munson mm-hmm. throughout the game and in the overtime period.
Yeah, great job. Unbelievable. Can't say enough about him, how he stuck with it. You know, Devin has earned the job. We went with him down the stretch. That was the guy we were riding. And Packy continued to work hard, as did Robbie Badoon. They both continued to work really hard in case they were needed, to come in and be ready to go for us. They continue to do their goalie work, their goalie sessions. They were ready to go, and you can't say enough of what that says about their commitment to the team. Because it's very easy just to say, okay, I'm not going to play. I'll take it off. But Packy kept himself ready to play, and boy, what incredible efforts he gave us in those last two games.
No doubt about it. Joel Esperance gets a penalty in the overtime period, and that's like, man, first of all, you're missing Joel out there, and you've got to kill a penalty in an elimination game out there. What a great job by the penalty killers.
Yeah, we didn't give up a scoring chance. We took everything away. It was a great job the whole night. They were 1-for-7 on the night. And the one goal they got was on the block shot and where it went back to them. So to be able to, now with saying that, they got three, I think each game they got a power play goal. So that's not the recipe that you want to have against Mankato. I mean, they're just too good. They have too much depth, including all the 4-on-3s. Even going 4-on-4 with them is a huge task because it gets into the depth of the game. So, great job by the penalty kill. Great job in that overtime. And Packy still had to make a couple of huge saves right before we scored to get the win. We were running out of gas. There's no question about it. And Packy made an incredible glove save, down
short
the stretch.
Break it up now to center ice. Cross the line comes McClure. McClure is in! Big save by Packy Munson! Oh, he robbed McClure!
Packy Munson with that save, and then the Huskies get the game winner in overtime.
Barely gets it out, but the Mavericks come down. 2-on-1. They walk right in. Here's a shot, and they miss the net. Huskies got back in time, and Jackson now will skate it up to the red line. He has it. He'll shoot. Score! Gabe Jackson with the goal! Wins it for the Huskies! 4:53 left to go in overtime. Unbelievable. Michigan Tech has pulled off this miracle against Minnesota State, and they're going to the championship game next weekend at the Barry Event Center against their arch rival, Northern Michigan University.
Jake Jackson with both goals in that game, Coach, and he said after the game that he was just shooting, just trying to get it through that defensive line. There were three guys that were backing up in front of their own goalie.
Yeah, and he got a little bit of a crossing pattern there. He started to his left, carried it across through the neutral zone to his right, to the right side of the ice, and then came back to his left and then shot it. He actually shot it far side. But got it through. He got through some legs there. They had the middle of the ice taken away pretty well. It was certainly at the end of the shift. He would have come right off the ice after that attempt, but created some time and some space for himself with his speed. He got away from two forecheckers, to get out of the zone for us after that rush that they had, right before that. So he got through them and then attacked three guys and was able to get a shot through some legs and a partial screen and, rest is history.
Great goal, great game, and great job by the Michigan Tech faithful that were at the games, the pep band that was there, Mitch's Misfits, all the fans that were there yelling and screaming.
Yeah, it feels like a home game. Just feels like, and you know what? And they do such a great job. I'm seeing videos and things at times where the two bands are playing together. Just that sportsmanship. That's college atmosphere. I remember being one time at playing BU in a national championship game at it was in Minneapolis, and the BU band and the Lake State band are going at it back and forth at that time and having a little band as we were walking out of the hotel going to the rink. That's what college athletics is about, that sportsmanship, that camaraderie, the Misfits in Bemidji with the Bemidji people, doing their thing, and it's just a great time.
Huskies win by a score 2-1 in overtime and advance to the championship game against Northern Michigan, who won their game in overtime as well. And that was a nail-biter down there, Coach, with the Wildcats having the lead with just 8 seconds left or something left. They tie it up. Falcons do send it into overtime. And then Loggins, I think, getting the game winner.
Yeah, Loggins is having a great year, 40-plus points. So dynamic team again, a team very much like Mankato. They've done a great job this year. I think they're second in the country in differential in wins from last year to this year. I think there's something like 13 more wins last year, 12 or 13 or 14, something like that, than they had a year ago. They have that many more this year. So tremendous effort by them. It's going to be a great hockey game.
All right, we'll talk about that game and answer some of your questions when we come back. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour.
Got the fender bender blues. People stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new. It's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay. Without delay. Don't drive that wreck for one more day.
Tax time is here. Let the tax professionals at Lake County prepare and e-file your income tax return. The Affordable Care Act, identity theft, the earned income credit and education credits are just a few of the reasons you need the services of the tax professionals at Lake County. Lake County will ensure that you receive all the credits and deductions that you are entitled to. Lake County is ready to relieve the stress related to tax preparation. Call 482-2370. That's 482-2370. Lake County, located 1 mile west of the Copper Country Mall, Houghton.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger? But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No,
sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese. Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke. My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Save your bucks at Bucco's during their March Madness sale. All six packs of 16-ounce canned beer is on sale. 32-ounce Powerades are 10 for 10 bucks. Vitamin Waters and Core Organic Energy Drinks are 4 for 5. Red Baron Pizzas are 3 for $9.99. Kickstart Energy Drinks are 4 for 4. And High Drive Energy Drinks are only 99 cents. At your party headquarters, Bucco's Party Store in Calumet. All sales do not include taxes or deposits.
Taco, Taco Man. You know I got to be a taco man. I said taco, taco man, yeah.
You can be a taco man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish tacos starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a taco, taco man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a taco man.
Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Questions for Coach Sean. You still have time to get one in if you want to. We've got some out here already for you, Coach. And here is the first question. First of all, Coach, congratulations on an incredible season. It says, I know that you focus on the process, getting better each day, while you let the results kind of take care of themselves. That being said, I would imagine that you, your staff, and the team set goals at the beginning of the season. Do those goals include wins, like winning the GLI, winning the McGinnis Cup, winning 20 games, etc.?
To be honest, I don't set goals.
No.
I don't, as far as the team, because there's so much that goes into that, you know, with injuries, and what if you don't achieve them, you know, so no, I just, my deal is strictly performance day to day. I try to keep it in the moment. I try to, we try to work one person at a time, one guy at a time to try to get that person on board. And then oftentimes, you know, it's a guy moving in and moving out of a cycle of trending in a direction. So when someone's coming back out, by the time you're getting, you know, you're working through guys, you're back on somebody else trying to get them going. It's all about performance. It's about continual growth and looking back, are we happy with some of the things that we achieved? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do we want to win the GLI? Would that be a goal? Yeah, that'd be a goal. But to me, it comes down to the first game of the GLI, you know, the first period of the first game against the GLI till the last period of the last game in the GLI or in anything else, just like last weekend. You know, people say it's going to be so important to win that first game, you know, and you're like, well, what if you don't win the first game?
Well, I'm one of those people. But
yeah. Well, we did. Yeah. But what if you don't win the first game? There's
right.
still two more games to play.
And you're not giving up.
Is it an emotional letdown? Is it? And you just got to. I try as best I can with everything to just stay in the moment.
That makes a lot of sense. Next question. Where does Packy's overtime save rank on your list of big saves that you've seen while you've been a coach?
It was a big one. It was a big one. So, I mean, at that time, it was the biggest. And I'm sure at another time, something else I saw of another goaltender was the biggest. You know, at that moment, he was there for it. And, he made several big saves in that game. He, you know, Packy Munson was highly involved in winning us a hockey game, you know, in stealing us a hockey game in there. I'm not going to go in and say that we outplayed Mankato in that game, that we took it to them. The flow of the game went their way. There were 4-on-4, 4-on-3, 5-on-4 both ways that all got into your depth. I thought the referees did a good job. I thought they did what they were told to do, and they did their job. But it was, you know, we needed goaltending to win. If we didn't have exceptional goaltending in that game, we weren't coming out of that game with a win. And you know what? That's the way it should be. They earned home ice. They're top, you know, top team in the country, top three team in the country, in the rankings. They beat all the top guns in the country. We've beat a lot of top guns in the country. So, you know, it went down to you needed someone to step up with a big effort. Mankato needed someone to step up with a big effort, and it happened to go our way.
This question's next one's for me, apparently, Coach, but I think you can relate to this too. Mm-hmm. It says, how do you, after a long thriller like that, talking to me, a long thrilling game like that, how long does it take you to fall asleep? Well, it took me a long time.
It took
me a long time on Sunday.
You know,
to fall
we rode back together, and we were just talking about it. Dirk wanted to get some. It was good that we all got some shut eye before we left, because the bus was coming back yesterday. We wanted to give the team recovery. Brian Brewster was a great recommendation a week ago, and probably through himself and Suzanne. They've been through this a lot, but they wanted to give the team recovery. I probably would have gotten on the bus and come back a week ago after Bemidji, but give the guys a good rest and then come back and travel during the day the next day. But we went back and got some shut eye and got up and left early while the team slept in. But I couldn't fall asleep.
I
don't know if it was 2:30, 3 o'clock, just, you know, going through things in your mind. And I watched a John Travolta movie, and I watched a little bit of Benjamin Netanyahu, and, you know, watched a whole bunch of stuff on television, and finally was able to go down. So it took a long time after that one, after 3 days of constant adrenaline, you know, for me to get down. And I know you talked about it as well. So I'm glad we were there with you to go back, because, you know, we're not all pepper today, are we? Like, I mean,
no,
we're not carrying this show.
We're
not carrying this show like people are sitting on the edge of their seats saying, wow, boy, are these guys fun to listen to. You know, we're just rehashing today.
All right, well, here's the elephant in the room. Let's get to it. The next question: with the high level of difficulty Northern has created in ticket sales for Tech fans for this championship game, do you think the WCHA will take over ticket sales next year for the championship game to prevent ticket lockouts or make a mandate on minimum allotted tickets for the opposite team fans?
Well, the league won't do it, but athletic directors and presidents will probably, they'll have to get involved to handle it somehow. You know, this is the second year of this format where we didn't go, if we're playing at the XL or if we're playing at the Van Andel, like in the past, there's no issue. Everybody gets their tickets. Last year was in our building, and I'm going to give total credit here to how Michigan Tech operates. The ethics, don't take that the wrong way. I'm not saying that there's a lack of ethics in any way, because everything was, all the rules were followed. But a year ago, one of the first calls, the reason that this isn't addressed further, there were no issues a year ago. One of the first calls that were made were to Bowling Green from, you know, Joel and Suzanne in our athletic department, were to Bowling Green, how many tickets do you want set aside? That amount was given to them, and they didn't use it all and returned them in enough time that those tickets could be remade available to our people. So it was handled in that way a year ago. This year, by appearance, it appears that Northern Michigan turned it into a competitive advantage for tickets. Just a difference in philosophies. There's everything within the rules, but by shutting down tickets access, by saying you have to purchase them in person at the door, first of all, you take away everybody, that every loyal fan who traveled to Mankato and had to go all night long to get back, they weren't getting in back in time to get in line to, if they drove, let alone if they had to work. So taking away the ticket access point, of being able to, and maybe that's the fix, I don't know what it is, but just being able to have everybody have the same access to call in and give your credit card like everybody has, like Northern Michigan everybody has, to get your credit card and everything out and buy your tickets and then have them there waiting for you when you get there. That would have solved it. The reality of it is, we would have had, I mean, if everything being equal, like we could have filled that building with Michigan Tech people, like a home game. So it appears that it, and I don't think this is unethical, do you, in me saying that, it appears that it wasn't done for expediency or anything. It was done to control, to make sure that let's say it that way. I want to make sure it's right, that the Northern fan base, that their loyal customers, their loyal people had first access to get tickets and remaining would be made available to everybody else. What they're finding and how it happened, what I'm understanding is that they're having an issue now, and this is just watching the news last night. My wife said, Joe, you gotta come see this. People from there were allowed to buy, a blocks of tickets. And they're scalping. There's people scalping tickets now, which now they're saying, making sure that the people understand, this is illegal, it's a misdemeanor, it's accompanied by this and this and this. So, it probably didn't work out the way that, or maybe it did work out the way that they wanted or whatever, but I think the league, I don't think will get in and take it over, or they might. I mean, it's not for me to say, but I don't think the league has the ability to make those calls. I think those things are made. I mean, that's getting into the liberal conservative debate of too much power. What'll happen is the board of governors and the athletic directors and the presidents will get in and say, okay, this is how it has to go. The reason why it wasn't addressed before is because, in total credit to how Michigan Tech operates, initial contact was made to Bowling Green. How many do you need? They said how many they needed. Those tickets were pulled. They didn't use them all. They gave them back. Those tickets were put back on the market. I'm sure if they would have asked for 3,500, they wouldn't have got it. But it was a reasonable amount. It was accommodated.
And I agree with everything you're saying. The thing that I think is misunderstood, from what I'm seeing on social media and everything, is that everybody keeps bringing up the 150 tickets. That's something that, take that out, and even the allotment for Bowling Green last year, take that out. The problem what people are having, I think, is the fact that you could not get them online or by phone.
That's all.
I mean, the amount, people say only 150 tickets allowed. Those are for the players, family and the band. That's different than anything else that's we're going on here.
Let me say this. Dr. Sandregret, I was on a call earlier that fought for that, mm-hmm. that fought and said, wait a minute here for, this is college atmosphere. We should be able to bring our pep band to a championship game. If we choose to do the expense and send our pep band, we're sending our pep band to a championship game. That's again, I'm talking about how Michigan Tech operates, the experience, the athletic experience that they believe in. So regardless of where it was, whether they come into our arena or go out, Suzanne fought for that. Like, she had to get it to put to a vote. I was on the call. I don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying this, but she fought for that to get it to what it is, to get that number to what it is. Whatever's available wouldn't even have been available had she not, and it was her. It wasn't anybody else. It was her. And then other people said, I know that, like, Ferris State jumped in and supported and things like that and said, we believe in this for all of our sports, every one of our sports. This is a championship contest. We want our, in Bemidji a week ago wanted the Misfits there. Because they wanted to interview the group and because they want to build that. They wanted the band there because they want to have the same type of thing. They wanted that integration. This was to, competitive advantage, take care of their fan base, close proximity because, it's crazy in a lot of ways. And we're not whining. It's crazy that there was no way for people to get there. What if it was Alaska Fairbanks? Mm-hmm. you know, what Alaska Fairbanks, what if they would have no chance of buying a single ticket? At least some of, there's several people here that got in the car and drove. So the few we have gotten, so it was a point of access. And that's what Suzanne said. We're not complaining about anything here. We're just saying to have access to buy tickets, just as everybody has access to buy tickets. It should just be made available. So,
well, it's a hot topic right now, and in little defense of Northern Michigan, this is not apples to apples when you're talking Michigan Tech and Northern compared to Michigan Tech and Bowling Green, with the difference in the rivalry and the proximity. But I think they made a mistake. I'm just going to leave, as far as my opinion, I think Northern made a mistake, and I don't think they would do it again that way if they had a chance to do it.
Well, they probably would do it again that way, all things being equal, if nothing was said, and maybe the next person would do it that way. It's not how we do it, and it's just a difference of opinion. They want to take, hey, in loyalty to them, in fairness to them, they want to take care of their fan base. Mm-hmm. They want to take care of their people. And where does the sportsmanship side of it and come in and things like that? And it's just another lesson that, you know, there's no difference in recruiting, people stealing recruits and things like that. Everybody takes advantage of an advantage. You know what I mean? And some people feel that one thing's right, some people feel another thing's right. Here's what's ultimately going to happen. Northern Michigan is going to need Suzanne at some point in the GLIAC or in the WCHA for support on something that doesn't benefit Michigan Tech, but could possibly benefit Northern, and a good ally, a good partner, gets that support. A bad, you know, someone else may not. So, you know, everything, the world is round, everything comes back.
This one is just a statement, Coach. Please let Joe know that the team know that we couldn't get tickets and that we will be there in spirit. We'll be standing, cheering, chanting, and encouraging the team like we were there in person. Go Tech, go. What is the status of Carroll? And will you play Munson this weekend? Is the next question, Coach.
No decisions yet. We haven't gotten a medical update on anything. Packy made a great case for himself. Devin made a great case for himself. We'll see where it goes. The situation will probably take care of itself, is my gut feeling.
The new Brodmer Trophy name is the Jeff Sauer Trophy, named after the great coach from Wisconsin and Colorado College who passed away last year, Coach. The next question is saying, why was the name the Jeff Sauer Trophy when it seems like there should have been other coaches or NCAA hockey people from the WCHA that maybe could have been named with that. I personally have no problem with it. Jeff Sauer, the listener's argument is that neither CC or Wisconsin are still in the WCHA, but they were when he was coaching and playing.
Yeah, even outside of that, though, Jeff remained
huge.
He remained involved. He was on the referee evaluation committee, and he remained involved even up until his passing.
Right.
He was at our league meetings in Florida.
He did a lot of the scheduling for a long time.
Yeah,
too.
So he still stayed administratively involved with the league even after, and he was highly involved with USA Hockey and with the paraplegic a sled team and things like that Joel Isaacson was so involved with as well. So he stayed involved. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't just his coaching that got him that accolade.
Very good. We'll be right back with more of the Joe Sean Hour.
The Kaliva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations 7 days a week with home-style service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaliva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her in all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
When you're looking for that special something for you or yours, come see us at the campus store in the Memorial Union Building or University Images at the Student Development Complex. We freshen up our inventory with brands such as Kickerland, Mustard, Jenny's, and Haiku. And check out our updated lines of Everest, Nike, Under Armour, and Champion. Browse our social media feeds for updates on our sales, promotions, services, and business hours. For all things Michigan Tech, visit us at University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. We thank you for your patronage and look forward to seeing you soon.
Your local Carfax Advantage dealer, Cuna Automotive, across from Walmart and Houghton, has announced a huge inventory reduction sale on all their in-stock cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Save thousands on a broad lineup of quality, clean, pre-owned vehicles, selectively chosen, thoroughly inspected, and guaranteed for your utmost satisfaction. Stop in today and take advantage of the amazing sale prices on the cleanest pre-owned vehicles you'll find anywhere. That's the big inventory reduction sale going on now at Cuna Automotive, a family-owned automotive center on the business strip in Houghton. 482-7988 or go to CunaAutomotive.com.
Big game is on Saturday night. We'll have the broadcast for you 6:30 here on Mix 93 WKMJ 707 Drop of the Puck. A couple more questions for you, Coach, real quick. Do you make any adjustments to your game plan for the Olympic sheet once again at Northern?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What? Can't tell us, right? All right, next one. Do you think this game will be determined by X's and O's and strategy, or will it be about effort and heart?
That's going to be about both, all the above. It's... you know, you have to work, and that was the main message we were sending to our guys as the fatigue factor was wearing in. You know, as depth played more and more of an issue on Sunday night's game, was to rely on each other, play in five-man units. Don't get individual, stay as a group out there, work together within the structure of how we play, because other than that, when you're going helter skelter, or going just on emotion and heart, and it turns individual, you just burn a lot more energy. You waste a lot of, you know, it turns into a lot more fatigue. There's a lot more chasing, guys covering for guys running around. So, you have to play as a unit. Now it's a one game take all. So, there'll be emotion is going to play a huge part in it. You know, heart, emotion, all that's going to play a huge part. Momentum's going to play a huge part. Breaks here and there, bounces are going to play a huge part. That's why you have to make them, you know, you have to, you know, make sure that one mistake doesn't turn into two and three mistakes. That you can usually get by one mistake. It's the ones that, like, when a guy gets beaten, another guy goes and then another, and it causes all that chain reaction. So both will be critical.
All right, thanks for your questions. Game time again is at 7:07. For those of you who were able to get tickets, we'll see you down there. It should be a lot of fun. I never like to promote another media source covering the game, but of course it will be on Fox 10, is it? Fox 10, whatever. They'll be carrying the game too with our good friends Mark and Dave calling the game. But we'll have the game for you here on Mix 93. And
see, now that's how you work together right there.
Yeah.
You're promoting something else. So what you should say is turn the TV on, try to figure out a way to sync it so that the timing is lined up, and listen to Dirk. Listen to Dirk, watch the game if you can't be there, and then you got everything, everybody's happy and everybody's working together.
That's right. How are practices going to be this week, Coach, as far as intensity and getting enough rest for this weekend?
Well, we're going to start out, you know, we'll get back to the office right now and I'll meet with Brew and with Tyler and with the staff. We'll figure out, we certainly need some recovery in here for sure. Guys, you know, not only have we, played series as Northern has, but we've been traveling. We've been on the road. So, you know, it's botching up our weeks a little bit here. So we'll find out who can skate and who can't skate. There's some guys we'll absolutely leave off the ice. Today even, and then we'll get back at it. We do have, with the break, we'll practice at a different time so that we'll try to work that around to get us the most recovery we can and make it work in our favor.
Coach, congratulations on the, series win last week. Good luck. We're going into the championship game for the second straight year. Different building this time, and it should be a lot of fun.
Great. Thanks, Dirk.
Coach Joe Sean and the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Huskies taking on the Wildcats Saturday night for a one-game take-all. Winner will go to the national tournament. Loser will not. That's the Joe Schanauer on Mix 93.